Narman's astonishment had gone far beyond mere shock as Wave Thunder calmly closed the folder once again. "As you can see, Your Highness," he said, "for us to have obtained this information through any avenue which you may be familiar, both Earl Pinehollow and Baron Shandia would have to have been agents of Karis, which I assure you, and I'm quite sure you already know it to be the truth, neither of them would have dreamed of becoming."
"I..."
Narman's voice trailed off, and he shook himself. Then he cleared his throat and sat back in his chair, gazing intently into Wave Thunder's eyes.
"I certainly wouldn't have believed either of them would have betrayed me," he said at last. "On the other hand, I can't see any other way for you to have learned the details of two separate private conversations."
"Your Highness, I allowed you to pick the day," Wave Thunder pointed out. "If you would care to pick another day, as, for instance, the following Friday, when you had a private conversation with Commodore Jastrow, or perhaps Monday, when Bishop Executor Willis met with you to discuss your suggestion that Mother Church's messengers creep about like poachers or smugglers from one wretched little rat hole to another, I'm quite prepared to share the summaries of those other days with you as well."
"But how..."
Narman chopped the question off. He stared at Wave Thunder for several more seconds, then inhaled deeply.
"I begin to understand what you meant about needing to know, my lord. Understanding it will make my curiosity burn no less brightly, but I'm not about to ask you to compromise your access to information that detailed. And please believe me when I tell you that the realization that you and the Emperor have access to it should quite neatly depress any temptation on my part to even contemplate betraying my oath of fealty to him. After all," the Emeraldian Prince showed his teeth briefly, "it's extraordinarily difficult to concoct an effective plot without even talking to your fellow conspirators."
"I must confess I'm relieved to hear that, Your Highness. And if I'm going to be totally honest, that was, in fact, one of the conclusions both His Majesty and I hoped you would reach. Nonetheless, I was also completely honest when I said we would all appreciate any insight into this information which you might be able to help us gain."
"I'll be delighted to help in any way I can," Narman assured him.
"I'm glad. There is one other minor point I need to touch upon, however, Your Highness."
"Which would be what, Baron?"
"His Majesty is aware that you and Baron Shandia did, in fact, order Hector's assassination," Wave Thunder said rather delicately. "Now, in the normal course of things, the Emperor would shed no tears if Hector were to suffer a fatal accident, shall we say. And, to be honest, it would seem a most appropriate fate for someone like Hector. Unfortunately, we believe any attempt upon Hector's life would have no more than an even chance of success at best. And, more to the point, perhaps, there's no doubt in our minds as to who the Coruscantians will blame for any such attempt at this time. While we cherish no illusions about the opinions already held in Coruscant where Karis is concerned, we're deeply concerned about the propaganda value the Group of Four might be able to extract from such an attempt. In fact, in many ways, Hector's assassination, especially if it could be reasonably charged that Karis was responsible, would be more valuable to the Group of Four than Hector himself alive is. With his navy neutralized and his realm open to invasion whenever we choose to strike, he's scarcely a military asset any longer, nor is there any way the Knights of the Temple Lands could come to his assistance, even if they wished to. So, since he no longer has value as a living ally, someone like Chancellor Trenaire, at the very least, would be quick to recognize his greater value as a dead martyr, treacherously slain by murderous Carisian assassins. Narman considered that, then nodded.
"I can see your point, my lord," he acknowledged, not even attempting to pretend he hadn't given exactly the instructions Wave Thunder had said he had. "At the time,
For obvious reasons, I was less concerned about how Hector's demise might affect Caris than I was about how a sudden power vacuum in Coruscant might have attracted Carisian attention there and away from me. Obviously, that portion of my calculations requires some rethinking under the new arrangement.
Oh, indeed it does, Your Highness, Wave Thunder agreed with a smile. And your comment about rethinking brings me to my final point for this meeting. You see, Prince Naaman, Emperor Caleb doesn't believe you'll find it possible to stop scheming and plotting.
Oh, the Carisian raised one hand and waved it back and forth like a man brushing away an irritating fly. That doesn't mean he suspects you of some fell intent to betray the oath you just swore. It simply means you are who you are, Your Highness, and this is the way your mind works. More than that, you're very good at it, much better than Hector even begins to suspect, and it would be foolish of His Majesty to allow such a sharp and serviceable sword to rust into uselessness through disuse, which is why he has a proposal he would like you to consider.
What sort of proposal, my lord?
Naaman asked, his eyes narrowed in speculation.